Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Body Never Lies. The Lingering Effects of Hurtful Parenting is a work of psychological nonfiction by Alice Miller, a writer and psychoanalytically trained thinker known for her critique of child abuse, emotional repression, and authoritarian child rearing. The book examines how childhood suffering that is denied, minimized, or morally suppressed can continue to affect adult emotional life and bodily health. Miller focuses especially on the conflict between what adults were taught they should feel toward parents and what their bodies may reveal through fear, rage, depression, anxiety, or illness. Rather than presenting a parenting manual or a conventional clinical guide, the book advances a moral and psychological argument healing requires acknowledging the truth of childhood experience without protecting abusive caregivers through forced gratitude or premature forgiveness. Miller uses therapeutic reflections and biographical examples of well-known writers to explore how the body may carry the consequences of unprocessed early pain. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the body as a witness to denied childhood suffering. Miller's central claim is that the body often preserves knowledge that the conscious mind has been trained to deny. A child who depends on parents for survival may not be able to identify cruelty, humiliation, neglect, or manipulation as wrong, especially when the surrounding culture demands loyalty to family authority. In adulthood, the person may sincerely believe that the past was harmless or deserved, while the body continues to register fear, rage, grief, or chronic stress. Miller interprets symptoms such as depression, eating disorders, anxiety, and psychosomatic distress as possible signals of unresolved childhood pain rather than isolated defects in the adult personality. Her argument is not a simple medical formula in which every illness has one childhood cause. Instead, she emphasizes a psychological mechanism when authentic feelings are forbidden. They do not disappear but seek expression through the body. This makes bodily suffering meaningful, though not automatically easy to decode. The book asks readers to treat symptoms as potential messages rather than moral failures. That perspective is distinctive because it shifts attention away from self-blame and toward the conditions that made emotional truth dangerous in the first place. Secondly, poisonous pedagogy and the normalization of parental cruelty. A major target of the book is what Miller elsewhere calls poisonous pedagogy, the tradition of raising children through obedience, fear, shame, punishment, and emotional blackmail while presenting these methods as discipline or moral education. In The Body Never Lies, hurtful parenting is not limited to extreme physical violence. Miller also considers subtler forms of coercion, including the demand that children suppress anger, protect parental feelings, and interpret mistreatment as love. Her point is that cruelty becomes more damaging when it is socially legitimized because the child loses not only safety but also the language needed to name the injury. If parents are automatically idealized, the child may conclude that personal suffering is evidence of personal badness. This reversal of responsibility can persist into adulthood as guilt, compliance, or unexplained self-hatred. Miller, therefore, treats child-rearing norms as psychological forces, not private family habits alone. The book is especially severe toward cultural habits that excuse parents because they were stressed, well-intentioned, or themselves wounded. For Miller, explanation must not become exoneration. A society that protects parental authority at the expense of child perception helps produce adults who mistrust their own emotional reality. Thirdly, the critique of compulsory forgiveness and filial obligation. One of the most controversial parts of the book is Miller's rejection of compulsory forgiveness, especially when forgiveness is demanded before the injured person has recognized the full reality of childhood suffering. She argues that moral and religious pressures to honor parents can become psychologically destructive when they require adults to deny rage, grief, or disgust toward abusive caregivers. In her view, forgiveness that protects the parent while silencing the former child is not healing. It extends the original pattern of emotional submission. This does not mean that Miller promotes revenge or permanent hostility. Her concern is with the sequence of repair, and there are a person cannot genuinely move beyond trauma by declaring noble feelings that have not been honestly reached. If anger is treated as forbidden, it remains split off and may return through depression, bodily symptoms, compulsive repetition, or redirected aggression. Miller's position challenges therapeutic traditions that prioritize reconciliation or empathy for parents. She insists that the first ethical obligation is to the truth of the child experience. The book, therefore, distinguishes between liberation from the past and obedience to ideals of forgiveness. Healing, in this framework, begins with permission to know what actually happened and to feel what was once unsafe to feel. Fourthly, the enlightened witness as a corrective to denial, Miller proposes the figure of the enlightened witness as essential to recovery from hurtful parenting. This witness may be a therapist or another reliable person who can recognize the reality of the childhood injury without minimizing it, moralizing it, or redirecting sympathy toward the parents. The importance of this role lies in the original structure of childhood trauma. A mistreated child is often alone with the experience, surrounded by adults who deny harm or require gratitude. Because the child depends on those adults, self-betrayal can become a survival strategy. In adulthood, an enlightened witness helps reverse that pattern by standing with the perception of the child rather than with the defenses of the family system. Miller is critical of therapy that asks clients to understand parents too quickly, because such empathy may repeat the old demand to protect the powerful. As West, the witness does not create the truth but makes it bearable to face. This model explains why insight alone may be insufficient. A person may intellectually know that childhood was painful while still feeling guilty for blaming parents. The validating presence of another person can help convert forbidden knowledge into integrated memory and allow bodily symptoms to lose some of their mystery. Lastly, biographical examples and the intergenerational cycle of harm. The book uses biographical discussions of figures such as Marcel Proust, Virginia Woolf, and Friedrich Nietzsche to illustrate Miller's broader claim that childhood wounds can shape adult creativity, illness, despair, and relational patterns. These examples are not presented as conventional literary criticism. Miller reads the lives of celebrated writers as evidence that talent and public achievement do not cancel the effects of early emotional injury. The method is provocative because it connects private suffering, cultural admiration, and bodily collapse in a single interpretive frame. At the same time, readers should approach these biographical links as interpretive arguments rather than definitive medical proof. Their value lies in showing how denial can coexist with brilliance and how unresolved pain may be transformed into art while still damaging the person who carries it. Miller also connects individual suffering to the wider cycle of abuse. Adults who are humiliated as children may repeat humiliation unless they become conscious of what was done to them. Violence is not inherited mechanically. It is transmitted through denial, identification with aggressors, and the absence of witnesses who defend the child. By joining biography with social analysis, the book argues that protecting children is not only a family matter but a cultural necessity. In conclusion, The Body Never Lies is most relevant for adult readers trying to understand the lasting emotional and bodily impact of hurtful parenting, as well as therapists, counselors, educators, and readers interested in trauma, family systems, and the ethics of child rearing. Its practical benefit is not a step-by-step treatment plan, but a change in interpretive focus. It encourages readers to take bodily distress, persistent guilt, anger, and emotional numbness seriously as possible signs of denied experience rather than as evidence of weakness. Intellectually, the book challenges traditions that treat parental authority, filial gratitude, and forgiveness as unquestionable goods. This makes it demanding reading, especially for those who prefer reconciliation as the central goal of healing, compared with many trauma books. Miller's work stands out for its uncompromising defense of the child perspective and its suspicion of therapeutic neutrality when neutrality protects abusive adults. It is also distinctive in linking personal symptoms with cultural norms, religious morality, and public myths about family loyalty. Readers seeking balanced clinical protocols or contemporary neuroscience may need to supplement it with other sources. Readers seeking a forceful account of how denial protects harm will find a concise and influential statement of Miller, Mature Thought. If you would like to support Alice Miller, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.